The black is for our people, the red for our earth, the yellow for our sun. The iconic Aboriginal flag, which has flown for the past 50 years, representing Australia's First Nations people and their spiritual connection to the land. And now, after a lengthy legal negotiation, the Commonwealth has acquired the copyright for the emblem meaning. It can now be reproduced in a variety of ways without first asking permission or paying a fee, which has been what's been happening up until now. As the Prime Minister puts it, the Aboriginal flag has been freed for all Australians. Ken White is the Minister for Indigenous Australians. He joins us now very early from Perth. Minister, welcome.
It's great to be with you, Patricia, and look, it's a great outcome. Having the negotiations that were protracted because there were complex licences involved and lawyers were still working on crossing the T's and dotting the I's as late as Friday in order for us to make this announcement.
Why is it so important, Minister, that the Aboriginal flag is now in public hands?
Well, it means that individuals who want to use the flag on clothing or apparel or at sporting events, projecting it onto buildings or on the ground, are able to do that now without having to pay a licence fee to use it. And the licence fee was quite hefty because Clothing the Gap group came and saw me at Parliament, talked about the impact it was having on products they had made, and from that discussion, I met with Harold on two occasions and he agreed that it was important to give it back to our people.
The Commonwealth has paid $20 million to acquire the copyright from its designer, Harold Thomas, and to unwind the existing licensing deals. But how do you put a monetary value on something which is so priceless? And what's that $20 million going to be spent on? Will anyone be profiteering from the deal?
No, not at all. We've been very focused on having the best possible outcome. For Harold, the legacy will be a $2 million fund that he will establish that will provide opportunities for Indigenous people. And in addition to that, the money that is the royalties from the flag makers, Richardson's, will go into NAIDOC events to celebrate Aboriginal culture, history and connecting with broader community. The benefits in the long term far outweigh what we expended, but it's about giving back the flag to be freely used.
Will, with the Australian people effectively owning the flag, talk me through how it can now be used. And this element of the announcement too, that it be displayed in a respectful and dignified manner. What does that mean?
Well, it means that, like the Australian flag, there are protocols that apply, and this would also equally apply in respect to the Aboriginal flag. And Harold said he wanted the flag to be flown with dignity, that it should be always be respected. And from that first moment when it was flown in Adelaide and then later at the Tent Embassy, it's been highly valued. And our people do respect the three colours because of, as you said at the beginning, it represents key elements. But the other aspect to this, it means that, like the Australian flag, people use it to promote products. You can buy transfers and stickers. You can have smaller flags that are used in terms of events. It means also that when the AFL round is on or the NRL rounds or major sporting events in this nation, the flag can be used without a charge being applied for that. And the charges were significant. So that's why the sporting events didn't feature the Aboriginal flag. They'll now be able to do that and it'll hold its place and pride alongside the Australian flag and be used freely. And many of our artists and many of our women who start up fledgling businesses in apparel can now use it without having to pay a fee for the use of the flag.
In terms of this stipulation that it be used just like the Australian flag in a dignified manner, where could it not be used? What can you think of in terms of a scenario where it would be inappropriate to use?
Well, it would be a context in which, say, the flag might be burnt, or that it is flown in a manner that is not typical for any flag to be flown, and just to respect the fact that it is a national flag and it has the same status as the Australian flag.
Well, let's talk about that status, because I wonder what the implications might be for its use in the political sphere. Labor Senator Melandiri McCarthy tweeted this morning asking if Labor motioned to fly the flag in the Australian Senate again, would the Morrison government support the motion this time round? Would you?
Well, that's a decision for the Senate. The Senate is the state's house, and the senators, even though they are elected through party structures, still constitutionally represent their states and territories. And so that is a decision for them. And Melandiri, or Senator McCarthy, can move that motion again and test the water. But
do you think that LNP senators should support it?
Look, there are many who support the flag being displayed outside the chambers, but the flag that's currently in there is the Australian flag, which is the symbol for the nation and represents all states and territories, hence the reason for those flags flying in the Senate chamber that reflects the Federation. And senators will make that decision based on what they believe the state's house should have as flags within that chamber. I know that the Senate did have at one point the Aboriginal flag and Torres Strait Islander flag outside of the chamber. And look, that's a matter for the Senate to deal with when that motion comes forward again. And people certainly are very passionate about their states and territories, and we see that on many issues.
When the Prime Minister stands up and speaks, there are often Australian flags behind him. Would you like to see the Aboriginal flag, now that the Commonwealth has bought this licence, that this flag, the Aboriginal flag, is flown behind the Prime Minister as well?
Well, actually, the Prime Minister has had the Aboriginal flag behind him on a number of occasions.
But and should it become a permanent feature, Minister?
Look, I would hope it would do, but let's have a look at the circumstances in which those speeches are made. But certainly, the Prime Minister has been extremely at one with me on acquiring this flag. And in the discussions, the two sets of discussions I had with Harold Thomas, we talked about a whole raft of issues, but the importance of the Commonwealth being responsible for the flag so that nobody else could take the licences and restrict the use of the flag.
So you personally would like to see that flag flown behind Prime Minister, any Prime Minister in the future as well, as a permanent feature to send a signal about this country's history?
Yeah, I certainly would support the use of both the Aboriginal flag and the Torres Strait Islander flag. And in Cabinet, we have the flags there. They sit very prominently behind the Prime Minister. So when camera shots are taken of Cabinet meeting, you will see the three flags. And there's a great sense of pride in seeing the diversity of our nation, our origins, but the three flags standing in parallel with each other. I think there are some occasions, Patricia, where it is a state event between two countries where you have predominantly, if it's the Indonesian president is here, then it is predominantly the Australian and Indonesian flags that reflect the two nations. So protocol will prevail, but I do know that the Prime Minister has on several occasions had the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander and Australian flag behind him.
This landmark deal has been announced the day before Australia Day, which has become a highly polarising national holiday. If there is a renewed pride in the flag by all Australians, black and white, could that help to ease some of the divisions and further push the case for recognition and change?
Well, just on the flag alone, the letters that I received from non-Indigenous Australians asking me to acquire and our government to acquire the flag so that it could be freely used was significant. So that demonstrated the degree of passion out in the broader community. But what we have to do with Australia Day is take that notion of reflecting on the past and then respecting the achievements we've made as a nation, but then look to a future in which we have to think about what do our children and grandchildren want. There's been hurt over the whole period of the early years of colonisation. But we as a nation have achieved so much, and Indigenous people now sit in every sphere just about of Australian life. There are still many who are disadvantaged, and we've got a lot more to do in closing the gap and the agreements of the chief ministers and the premiers to report in their own parliaments on closing the gap means a concerted effort. But we're seeing governments at every level now engaging with Indigenous Australians.
But Minister, do you understand why so many Indigenous Australians see Australia Day as a day of mourning?
Well, yes, I do, because there have been some atrocious events in the history of our country. But we also, as I saw at the Mile Creek site, the coming together of both Indigenous and non-Indigenous people to acknowledge what happened there. And the local government have built a monument that has the names of people on it and reflects a point in history that was appalling. And they're moving on together now to look at other commonalities that will bind a community, not tear it apart. And what I'd want us to do is still to acknowledge the past, acknowledge the hurt, acknowledge the impact of many policies on our people, but at the same time seize opportunities and strike out in directions that see substantial gains and better futures for our children.
Ken Wyatt, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
BK, it's a pleasure.
That's the Minister for Indigenous Australians, Ken Wyatt.